Today we're going to talk about competition, and we're going to slice and dice it several different ways. I'm Brian Rump.
And I'm Matt Garrity from NEG Digital.
And this is the Kawartha Small Business Podcast. We have business conversations for your Kawartha commute. Speaking of competition, you need to stand above your competition. And today our sponsor is Starting Point Digital Marketing. If you need to start on your digital marketing so that you can have an affordable and simple way to stand above your competition, then check out startingpointdigitalmarketing.ca. All right, Matt, we're going to talk about competition. And I have lots of fun things maybe to say about this, but we'll let you start.
I will start by saying, as most of these podcasts usually become into existence, came from a situation or maybe multiple situations, thinking about conversations I've had with people that I work with or just colleagues or just other general business owners in conversation about competition. And I'm always surprised how angry, fired up a lot of people get about their own competition, which I don't actually understand. I don't think I've ever been like that. And now I think I have a pretty interesting perspective on competition after a couple of years.
Awesome. Yeah, I think just on people getting fired up, it is interesting how people will get angry about what other people are doing. I always find it kind of interesting because they're typically the same people who are like, they want a free market and they want to, you know, they want, I guess, competition, but then they don't want competition and they'll get angry at what other people are doing, which is fascinating. I think you need to, it's a good reminder, you need your own strategy and you need your own value, your own sort of offering, you got to manage your own business, be responsive to your customers. But it's just interesting to watch people get fired up over what their competitors are doing.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're getting really fired up or you're spending your whole time just trying to combat what your competition is doing or try to counter what your competition is doing, you've lost control of your own business. Yeah. You're not paying attention to your own processes. You're not paying attention to your own strategy. I bet you the people that get the most fired up aren't doing marketing, and they're just out of control with their business. They probably don't have any sort of, this can sound harsh, management. They're not able to manage their business effectively if competition is the thing that gets them that fired up.
Yeah, I think it's true. They don't have a strategy. They're not in charge. There's an old farmer saying about a bad way to farm is looking over your neighbor's fence. Like, you don't watch what other people are doing. You really have to focus on your own stuff. In my sort of experience working with a lot of companies and financing and watching businesses close, you really can't watch competitors because sometimes people will be like, how are they doing that? And my often response, and I don't know if I've ever said this to you, is like, well, they're not, or they're not doing it profitably, or they're digging themselves a debt hole. And, oftentimes they're the type you see, in a year or so, close their doors or do like a big drastic change. So you can't look at what other people are doing and even assume that it's successful. So why bother spending too much energy on it?
I think that's what's been highlighted with social media in the last couple of years, where we all think that everyone has these perfect lives, and because people are always showing the fun things that are going on in their life, the exciting things, usually the exciting, fun things that are happening. They're not talking about any of the struggles or the bad things or the bad moods that they have. It's the same way with business. And I think that's what's maybe definitely being exposed with social media stuff in the last couple of years.
Oh yeah. And people watch it. And at the same time, you need to be watching your competitors. So, you know, there's definitely in, you know, marketing fundamentals, when you're doing external analysis, like you want to see what your competitors are doing, what they're offering, try to get inside their head a little bit, but you should be doing that to the mind of how do you position yourself against that? So, or are you planning to compete head to head with them? Or are you going to adjust what you're doing so that you're not really directly competing with them? So you need to pay attention to them, but you shouldn't get fired up and angry too much. It can be hard because there are some competitors who will just copy what you do, and it's frustrating, but that's the free market, baby.
Honestly, where I am now with competition, though, when people are straight up copying another business, it does not bother me at all anymore, because from a free market perspective, like you said, I'm happy for more people to be creating a market for whatever product or service that is. So whether it's marketing or like environmental products, like Unwrapped was maybe one of the first stores in Kawartha Lakes, at least Lindsay, of course, in that area. And I always got excited with them whenever they were talking about like maybe someone new was coming in. I always thought this is a great opportunity to convince more people to buy environmentally friendly products or talk about sustainability. The more people know about it, the better. The more people know about it, the more likely it is that they're going to hopefully find you because you're doing some marketing. But it helps create a market, the more competition that we have for all of our products and services.
Yeah, and I think you know, creating the market is important. And if you ever go to been to an auction, like there's no auction if only one person bids on something. Like they sink the price until they get multiple bids and people in on it to create that market. So that's just like our business world. And it's interesting how multiple businesses starting at the same time in a similar trend, they might be following a market trend that's somewhere else and they're bringing it to, say, the Kawartha Lakes. But then all of a sudden people are buying things or doing stuff that they would never have considered before. You know, one example would be like spas and like nail salons. Like when I was a kid, I don't remember that existing with like my mom and her friends. Maybe it did, but you know, it didn't in small towns as much. And there certainly wasn't like 10 businesses that I could name that do it, but it's, you know, created a market and now it's a habit and things that people do. And there's, you know, lots of examples like that. We see that with food often. You know, a new food trend will show up and then there'll be like multiple restaurants that are doing a similar, you know, type of style. So, you know, you want that market creation because then it creates a demand for that product. And now you're in a position to be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, you're able to take advantage of it if you market. Oh, yeah. And sorry to bring this back to marketing, literally again.
Everything comes back to marketing because marketing is everything.
Yeah, and like you can take advantage of that if you are able to market. And in my case, like it never bothers me because I know I can market better than anyone else that's not a marketer, at least. So when people create or add to the market, let's just use sustainability products, for instance, as an example. The more of those people that are popping up and creating that market and convincing people to use sustainable products, the better for the individual business. So Unwrapped, for instance, again, all they need to be doing is let the other people do some bad marketing or just talk about sustainability products. And Unwrapped, all they need to do is just talk about how good they are.
Yeah.
Talk about their products, who they are. Let everyone else do bad marketing. And that's what I always say to the people when they get like all worked up about competition. Let your competition create a market for you. let them talk about why people should be buying these products, but we talk about why they should be buying them from us.
Yeah.
Don't talk about your support local nonsense. Don't talk about like tips on how to use this, or like don't do random acts of marketing. Talk about who you are, why they should buy it from you, etc.
Yeah, I think, and that's, be better, be easy to buy from, so that when that market is created, you're the one that people could find and know how to do business with. Like that's part of that standing out. And that's when we look at sort of some economic fundamentals. You know, we're living in a monopolistic competition environment. And in those environments, it's really hard to sustainably make economic profit. But the way to do that is through advertising and marketing and standing out above everyone. So you get a lot of firms, very little difference between them, but there is some difference. So again, marketing being economics and action, it brings us back to some of our core marketing. And one of our core parts of that mix is our positioning. So clearly knowing how you position yourself against those competitors so that it's not, hey, we're the exact same, like come here because I'm, in a price war or cheaper, but really knowing how you are different. So is it pricing? Is it quality? Is it service? Is it location and convenience? Like you have to pick, which of those elements you're going to, compete on.
Yeah. And often competition and bad marketing can help you drive your own messaging when you see, okay, my competition is talking about this and that's not in line at all with what I do. Or I think what they're talking about is stupid. People don't really want that. And here's how I can kind of counter that in an effective, beneficial way to me. And like, you don't ever need to like call out your competition in any sort of marketing that you do, but you can very much just be talking about the complete opposite benefits to your competition.
Oh yeah. And then it creates that market. So now people are maybe seeing two perspectives on something, right? And that gives them options. So, for you in marketing, if there's different marketing professionals offering their own sort of strategic preferences, their own sort of mix, now if I'm talking to three different marketers, I'm not comparing apples to apples. Like it's three completely different people, which just makes for a better choice versus just going with who's available.
Yeah, and just continues to create that market.
Yeah, which is really, interesting. So a couple other things on competition. Reminds me of a conversation I had with a business owner who's in a heavily competitive market and wanted to sort of talk about collusion, which is not allowed. So that's an interesting element. So that would be like, you as a marketer, calls a meeting of all the local marketers and says, okay, here's what all of our prices are going to be. And let's all stick to these prices. So I wanted to just note that is definitely illegal.
Really?
Not allowed. Yeah. It's called the price fixing. Now luckily in Canada, this is a whole other rant. We're not good at actually following through with our legal system to create case law and precedent over prosecuting. Most people just cave and agree to some sort of fine. Good example of that is Loblaws a few years ago and their price fixing of bread. And, you could register to get like a $25 gift card, even though you probably lost way more than that. But people are like, all right, free gift card. And, we love Loblaws and, giant family dynasty monopolies. That's again, rant for another time, but you need that market. And what can be frustrating in there, and this came from someone who, sometimes your competition is doing wacky things and it's not sustainable, but it hurts. A good example of that is too low of prices. Like, you know, when you've been in a business and you're using that business to support your own family, you get to know what the price is on something. And then someone comes in, usually they don't know what they're doing. They're like, hey, I can do that cheaper. And they sewer all the prices, but eventually they get choked out because they realize they're, you know, and I've seen it in marketing a lot. People are like, oh, I'm going to be the social media marketer and I can do it super cheap. And then they take on a whole bunch of clients because, hey, cheap marketing, and they crash and burn because they're working insane amount of hours and they're not doing a good job. And it just doesn't work out for them. And it sucks for others in the industry when you see that happening. But again, you just have to focus on your own value and your own product.
It's not sustainable if you are too cheap, because from a service perspective, I don't know about products, but from a service perspective, you're going to get probably too busy. You're not going to be able to grow, or you're just going to kind of cap out, which is also fine. If you're like, okay, I'm going to work with X amount of people every month, that is what it is. You're not going to be able to grow though. And maybe even from a profitability perspective, it's not going to work out. You're not going to make any money. And then all of a sudden you're going to have to, like you said, it's going to crash and burn and your business isn't going to exist anymore. That's unfortunate typically, because then that just kind of like creates a ripple effect, not throughout the industry, but aesthetically to outsiders externally that are like, well, if this guy couldn't make it doing it at that price, like there must be something wrong with the industry.
Yeah. And I think that creates opportunity though, for someone who knows what they're doing to read the industry and go in and, you know, create value. For money, the other element I like talking about is subsidizing. So if your prices are too low, you're subsidizing that business with a cheap service. And if you're doing that, you can offer low prices because you're living rent-free with your parents. Well, your parents are subsidizing that business being able to, do that, which is fine in the short term, but it usually always catches up in the long term. So, you know, again, it goes back to your own business, having your own strategy.
Yeah.
You also mentioned products briefly, and this is a dangerous game in products. If you're offering your prices too low or you don't have a good enough margin, you're basically paying for something that you might be giving away at a loss. And I had a conversation with someone who was super busy, but they were ending up losing a bit of money. And I was like, you might as well just go stand on the street and hand out $5 bills. And like, they thought I was crazy, but it would be cheaper to do that.
Yeah.
You know, which is just a funny way to think about it. But it was a good way to illustrate, you know, looping back and, you know, really focusing on your own strategy.
Yeah, you hear that in the print industry that comes to mind with business cards specifically, where they charge very little for the business cards. The idea that you're going to come back again and again for other stuff though, and then they're going to get you later on. And you do hear that a lot of time in service in general. I heard that when I was starting with my marketing stuff, when people are like, well, like have everything like really cheap the first couple of months and you get them in, and then you can kind of like, the longer they're with you, the more the money, you'll make the money back. And I'm like, that's not how it usually works, because people are either going to leave right away, like within 30 to 90 days, or they're going to be with you for years. So like, you need to make sure you make that money in the 30 to 90 days. You need to be recuperated for that money and paid your worth in that time, because they might be gone.
Oh yeah. They don't want to just start paying more. There's, you know, the endowment effect. When we have something, we don't like giving it up. And that includes having something at one price. We don't want to just suddenly pay more for the same.
Yeah. And people aren't usually jumping at the fact of like wanting to spend more and more with you. So
Yeah, it's interesting. All right, any final thoughts on competition?
No, I think we should talk about more farming quotes, though, in every podcast. I feel like we need to create like a coffee drinking game where we need to include one every single time.
All right, I will work on that. Otherwise, if you want to talk more about your competitors or how to position yourself to stand above your competition, check us out. Send us a message at setitup@coorthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.